take your Bible this evening, and I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter number 51. Jeremiah chapter 51. And young people, I want you to listen real carefully. You should not be talking out right now, but you should be listening. Jeremiah chapter 51. This morning I announced the sermon's title for this evening, and it is Every Purpose of the Lord. Every Purpose of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 51. Once you find Jeremiah 51, find verse number 27, and then stand with me if you would, please. Jeremiah chapter 51. We're going to read verse number 27, 28, and 29. I'll read them out loud, and you can just follow along. The Bible says this: Set ye up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat and Mene and Ashkenaz, appoint a captain against her, cause the horse to come up as the rough caterpillars. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes, the captains thereof, and all the rulers thereof, and all the land of his domination. And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Take this sermon and use it to cause us to be more like Jesus and help us to understand more about our service and our fellowship to you. Now still the people, might our minds be affixed on the preaching. And Father, I pray that tonight you, most of all, would be pleased and glorified in what is said and done in the next few minutes. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This chapter in the Bible is a chapter of prophecy, or it's a chapter, and it's a chapter of prophecy, and or it's a chapter of prediction about the country of Babylon. And the Bible says that that land will tremble and it will sorrow. But then it said that God has a purpose for that. And then it tells us that God's purpose shall be performed. That's very interesting. God's purpose shall be performed. Now, there's always a purpose behind everything that God does. But I have to tell you, you might not always understand that purpose, but God has a purpose. God's not casual about our lives. We're casual about our lives, but God's not. There's always a purpose behind all that God wants you to do. There's always a purpose behind what God wants me to do. There's always a purpose behind all that God allows to happen to us or to come into our lives. So you understand, folks, we're the human race. We're not playthings for God, but we are a part of His purpose. We're not experimental lab rats for God, but we're a part of His purpose. We're not puppets in a play or a performance for or by God, but we are a part of His purpose. Did you know that you have a spiritual purpose? Many of you, you seek after your secular purpose quite well. But did you know that your spiritual purpose is more important than your secular purpose? And to some degree, of course, they are attached. I've been working on the thought of a Christian school in the future for our ministry, and I was speaking to what I think is the premier Christian educator in America today. And as we were talking, he said, Brother Owens, he said, the average Christian school does not have a mission statement. And we talked about that for a few minutes. And I thought, that is so very true. They don't have a mission statement. And folks, did you know something? Did you know that God's whole book is a mission statement about the Christian and Christianity? God told us what He wanted to accomplish. He's got a mission. He's got a passion. He's got a purpose. And let me tell you this, God loves us. And we are a part of His family. And we are a part of, and everybody look right this way, and we are a part of God's master plan. But the problem is the human race is basically self-centered. We live in our own little world concerned primarily with ourselves. We're extremely short-sighted. Most can't think beyond the moment or beyond the day. But God, He knows everything that He wants for you today tomorrow, every day that you will be on this earth, and for the rest of eternity. That's how well charted out God's plan is for you. Does that concern you at all? You have a mission statement yourself? Are you not... I was at Walmart the other day. I shop different than some, especially do I shop different than Mrs. Owens. If I'm going to Walmart to get something, I go get it and get out. I was racing through Walmart to go get it and get out, and a lady said, being funny, she said, "That's a man on a mission." I said, "You got it right." I wanted to get in and I wanted to get out. I was on a mission. You know, folks, you should be on a mission in your life. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your existence. Have you found it? Are you concerned about it? Do you even care what it is? God created us and our lives. There's purpose in it. When I was young, grade school, maybe middle school, junior high age, I liked to hunt. And I'd take my gun out and I'd hunt for rabbits and I'd hunt for squirrels. And I had a dog, Spot. Now, Spot was just a mangy mutt, and Spot was not a hunting dog, but Spot didn't know that, and neither did I. So if I went hunting, Spot would go with me. But Spot was a long-haired dog. She's a little short, black and white. Her hair was probably about 4 or 5 inches long, and we'd go hunting. Oh, Spot would get all excited if we'd see a rabbit or something, and Spot would take off running after it. And I remember one day we were out hunting together, Spot and I, great white hunters, and we were having a good time. But when we finally got back home, Spot had been chasing rabbits with me and had thistles and briars all matted up in her hair. It was tragic. And my mother, in an attempt to scold me, said, you're going to have to cut those out of there. And then my mother left. And I thought, oh, okay, I'll get this taken care of. My father had been saving his money to buy himself a Braun shaver. Now, probably $200 back then. A good one today could cost you $300 or $400. But how many of you know when I talk about a Braun? It was back then. It was kind of high tech, real. If you had one, you had a few bucks in your pocket. I was looking around trying to figure out, you know, how do I get those briars and how do I fix Spot up? So I got my dad's Braun shaver. Well, I was sitting in the garage and I was fixing Spot right up. My mother still, she had not noticed it, but this was happening about the time my dad got home from work. And my dad stepped in the garage and said, very politely, "You idiot. What are you doing?" I said, "Mom told me I needed to trim the dog's hair up." And he said, "That is not the purpose for which that shaver was created." And then later on, he explained it to me in some other terms that really made an impact on my life. You know, folks, I wonder how many times our Heavenly Father looks at you and I on Monday when we're doing our own thing and He says, "That is not the purpose for which I gave you Monday." And then He watches how you spend your money and God goes, "What are you thinking? You're off target. You're off your mission statement. You're confused about your purpose." Now, I think God has a purpose. God is a God of purpose. Don't you think if a God is an all-knowing God and He knows everything and He has all power, that things are not just out there happening and God's saying, "Whoops, whoops, whoops, oh, oh, whoops." It's not, no. Now, we live like that all day long, every day. We're shocked at what we get ourselves into, but I don't think God's shocked about anything. I think God is a God of purpose. God's got it together mentally, and God is perfection, if you will, in what we'd call spirituality. He is what spirituality is. But if you'll listen to me for a moment, let me make a few thoughts or applications about our God. And the Bible said there in Jeremiah 51:29, "For every purpose of the Lord shall be performed." First of all, may I say that God has a purpose for every life after salvation. Every life, there's a purpose. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace." Folks, you and I are to want His purpose, not ours. We're to live in His will, not ours. Even the average Christian today spends their time living in their own will. Not necessarily living bad, just living in their own will, not His. You see, when we got saved according to the Bible there in 2 Timothy 1:9, it says that it's according to His purpose and grace. See, God didn't want you to go to hell, so He made salvation available. But wait a minute, that's not all. God loves you and wanted you to go to heaven. But wait a minute, that's not all. He then has a plan for the rest of your life. If not, why didn't He just save us and take us to heaven? His plan, and so you know, it's not just a Sunday plan. There are all sorts of people out there that think God's got a Sunday plan. Actually, there's all sorts of people out there that think there is a Sunday morning 11 a.m. plan. If I show up for church, I've done my deed. Well, I've got news for you that it's a little more than that. But it's not just a Sunday purpose. It's a Monday purpose and a Tuesday purpose and a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday purpose. It's a whole life purpose. It's a 24-hour-a-day purpose. God has a spiritual purpose for your life and my life and for all saved people. The Bible says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose." Secondly, it was by God's grace we are allowed to have a purpose and be a part of His purpose. And I think that's worth noticing because of that word grace. If you are listening, that same verse, 2 Timothy 1:9, says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace." Huh. By God's wonderful love and grace, He has given you and I a tailor-made purpose for our life, which is a part of His purpose. Wow. You understand the great God of the universe, the all-knowing God of the universe? That all-powerful God of the universe, out of His grace, gave you a chance to be a part of His purpose. Again, folks, I hope you all know, God didn't have to have you. God didn't have to have me. Out of His grace and love, He chose to be good to us. He chose to let us become a part of His purpose. It's like church. I think you've got a terrible attitude. If you develop the attitude, "We've got to go to church." If that's the attitude you have at your house, you are spoiling the attitude of your family. It's not "we have to go to church," it's "we get to go to church." But I will promise you, there are people here, when it comes to the will of God, when it comes to the purpose of God, you have the wrong attitude there too. "I have to live according to the Bible." No, you get to live according to the Bible. "I have to be in God's will." No, you get to be in God's will. "I have to live righteously." No, you get to live righteously, and you will spoil your family and spoil your attitude in a wrong way if it's not a get to. It's got to be get to, not have to, because it is by God's grace we get to be a part of the purpose, and His purpose allows a purpose for us within it. It's His grace that has given you that chance to be a part of the work of God. And so, God has a purpose for every saved person. And then it is by God's grace that you and I get to be a part of that. It's by God's mercy we get to be a part of God's big plan. Thirdly, God's purpose is an eternal purpose. It's eternal. Ephesians 3:11 says this, "According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus." Huh. You know, you and I, our purposes, the ones that we develop for ourselves, they're usually immediate And they're the satisfaction of the immediate and the flesh. But God's purpose for us is the satisfaction of the spirit. And it is, and by the way, God's purpose for you and for me, it's an eternal purpose. In other words, God's got a pretty good plan. It's a real thorough plan. It'll cover you from the day you get saved all the way into eternity. See, God sees the whole picture. God sees 1,000 years from now. God sees your tomorrow. God sees your next week, and God sees your next month. Hey, and God's purpose for our lives is a tomorrow purpose as well as a today purpose, and they're connected, and He's in on what's going to happen next week and next year and in old age, if you will, and all the way into eternity. God's will for your life will affect you now, and it can pass into eternity. Can affect you and your family and others that you know and even some that you don't know. Do you understand when you fulfill God's purpose, you'll see the results in eternity and in heaven? God's purpose for your life will create a domino effect of good that will just keep traveling into eternity. If you take, for instance, we had 51 people saved in our ministries of the church this week. Do you understand that those that were fulfilling God's purpose of winning souls affected 51 people? They're today, they're tomorrow, they're next week, they're next year, they're next decade, their entire eternity, and when they've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, they'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when they first begun. God's purpose for you is eternal. Usually, our purpose for ourselves is immediate, but God wants to affect eternity. And so, what a wonderful thing. So, every saved person, God has a purpose for their life. And that purpose is presented to us and made available to us because of God's grace and His mercy and His love. We get to be a part of it. And then God is an eternal God. And He said, if you'll do my purpose, if you'll get involved in my purpose, if you'll fulfill my purpose for your life, it will affect eternity. I really believe there are things that we can do within the will of God that will affect someone today, but it will affect someone for all eternity. What a wonderful thought. We get to be a part of that. I think everybody here that has a few years on you, you begin to wonder about what we call retirement. Now, I hope you plan for your retirement and you work toward that retirement. But let me tell you something. You're concerned about a retirement after 90 years of life. Do you understand you will live forever somewhere? You might want to be investing in your eternal retirement program, which is what you cash in on after your flesh dies, which is your primary concern. But God's primary concern is what you will take into eternity with you. And 1,000,000 years from now, you'll still have the benefits from some of the investments that you make in eternity by being involved in God's purpose for your life. Let me go on. Number four. Sometimes God's purpose is just to demonstrate His great power. The things that happen, we want to figure them out. We want to know why did God do this or why did God allow that. I think He has the right just to... You say, I'll call it show off His power, but God doesn't need to show off. He's not in competition with anybody. He's in first place, and there's nobody that can really compete in the same category. But God's allowed to use His power the way He wants to use His power. And so the Bible says in Romans 9:17, for the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power. Huh, that's interesting. God has the right to show His power because He's God. God has a purpose. You know, Pharaoh, in the story, in the reference that's used here in Romans chapter 9, verse 7, number 17, Pharaoh was evil and he was bad, but God said, I will use that man's bad and I will demonstrate my power. And so, if there's bad out there, God even has a way in his purpose to demonstrate who he is and what he is, even through that bad. So God's power could be revealed in the overthrow of a Pharaoh. And you know, I think this. I think God wanted you and I to have the story of the crossing the Red Sea. We wouldn't have had that unless there were a Pharaoh. I'm sure there were people in that day that said, what in the world is the purpose of there being a Pharaoh? And God said, I can take that person named Pharaoh and I can develop a purpose around that. And my people are going to need the story of the Red Sea crossing. And hey, you all know the story of how God and Moses took on Pharaoh and his magicians, where they were turning the water to blood. And do you know something? We use that story over and over and over again. I'm sure people back then said, what in the world is the purpose of this? But God had a purpose in it, because we needed that story to see the power of God. When the Passover lamb crossed over the land, and there was a lesson in the blood that would be shed of a lamb. Say, what in the world was the purpose of all that? God has a purpose for everything that he does. And one of God's purposes is to remind the universe that he's God. And he has that right. So if you ever look at something happening in your life and you're wondering, what in the world, what could the purpose possibly be? I might not be able to explain it to you. No human being might be able to explain to you what God's purpose is, but I will guarantee you, God has a purpose. God's not flippant about his power. Every day, all day long, God has a plan. He does not slumber. He does not sleep. He knows what ought to be done. He's capable of keeping up with it all. He has a purpose. You see, every saved person, they have a purpose, and they're a part of God's big plan. And it's by God's grace that we get to participate in that. And it's an eternal purpose. And then sometimes God is just demonstrating his mighty power. That is what the purpose is, to show his power. You may be going through a tough time right now. You say, why am I going through this tough time? I don't know. It may be God has a purpose that you'll never understand. But I will promise you this. God understands. God understands. In a moment, I'll give you the last point of my sermon. It'll be more than just a real short moment, but I will give it to you in a moment. But the very last point of my sermon is, you by faith need to believe God has a purpose. Because at times when you scratch your head and you get a little frustrated, and if you're not careful, you'll even try to bail out on God like, this is not fair. Let me promise you, God has a purpose. He has a purpose. The Bible speaks of a lot of different purposes. I'm going to read three or four scriptures to you. When I do, I'll make a real quick application. But there, the word purpose, I was studying the Bible. I wanted to understand the purpose. And there's no doubt about it. God is a God. He's a God on a mission. He is a God on a mission. And I think you and I are a little bit like I was when I was a kid. I was using Dad's razor for the wrong purpose. And I think many times you and I are using our lives, or we're using our Monday or our Tuesday or our Wednesday or our money or our energy or our mind, or we're using our words for the wrong purpose. And if we're not careful, we'll mess up our eternal reward, if you will. We are not doing what we're to do for God. Listen, the Bible speaks about some purposes and in many situations. Let me read something to you. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 24, the Bible says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Now, if we analyze that verse for a second, notice God said, I have a purpose. And twice in it, he makes a statement. He said, so shall it come to pass, as I have purposed, so shall it stand. God sometimes does what he does, and according to that verse, because he said, I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. And that's what that verse says. He said, I said it. If I said it, it's going to happen. You ever heard someone say, you can take it to the bank. You can go to the bank on that. Let me tell you something. You can go to the bank on anything God said. And God, in His, sometimes I think in God's purposes, something happens, and it is God saying, I told you, and I have the right to prove to you that what I told you is going to come true. So I think sometimes there are things that happen just because God said, well, I said it, I have the right to prove it. And so His purpose is, I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. That's one of God's purposes in what happens in life. But not only that, I read another verse that uses the word purpose. In Isaiah chapter 23, verse number 9, it says this, the Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Huh. What that verse is talking about is God sometimes in His purpose, it used the word to stain the pride. What's it talking about? It's talking about produce humility. Then it uses the words to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. In other words, people that are lifting themselves up, God sometimes does things to humble them. Can I tell you something? You say, why am I going through what I'm going through? What's the purpose of this? Well, is there a chance that there's pride in your life that shouldn't be there? Sometimes, in God's purpose, He needs humility to be lived by His people. And I can think of more than one time that probably God was knocking me off my high horse, trying to get my attention. Is something happening in your life, and is God trying to get your attention in His purpose? But according to that, again, it says the Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. God, in His purpose, may bring events that produce humility. They humble us. You look at something, you say, why in the world is that happening? I'm humiliated. And God may be going, bingo, that's a Catholic term, bingo. It came into your life to humiliate you. You say, well, why? Because God's purpose insists that your pride not dominate you. So God's purpose sometimes is because God means what He says and says what He means, and He has a right to prove that. And the events of life cause that to happen. Sometimes something comes into life, and it's God trying to humble us so that we don't destroy ourselves through pride. But so the great purpose of God is fulfilled, we need to stay humble so we're not following our own plan, our own will, and our own purposes. And I wonder if God's not trying to get us back on track so we're fulfilling His purpose for our life. Then I read the word purpose again. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse number 10 and 11, it says this, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. Later on in the verse it says, I have purposed it, I will also do it. Now this might be hard to understand, but yet maybe for the human race it's easy to understand. I think there are events that happen in life that we might not like, but it pleasures God. He said, I will do my pleasure, I have purposed it. So you all know, God owns it all. He owns it all. And His pleasure, if you read Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11, everything was created for His pleasure. Now we need to understand that. You were created for His pleasure. Your children were created for His pleasure. Believe it or not, your money. Your money was created for His pleasure. Your body was created for His pleasure. Your mind was created for His pleasure. His pleasure. So in God's great purpose, it includes His pleasure. And God has a right to that. God is the Creator. He's the owner of everything. So here, we're looking for this purpose of God. And God sometimes allows things to happen. And in His purpose, He said, well, I say what I mean what I say. And what's happening right now is a part of that. And then God says, I sometimes allow something. Something comes into life, and that something it humiliates, if you will, or it nips somebody's pride. And God said, that gets us or keeps us on track for our purpose. And then it's just for my pleasure. But not only that. I was reading in Jeremiah 49, verse 20. It says, therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that He hath taken against Edom, and His purposes that He hath purposed against the inhabitants of Timnah. Now, these were heathen nations, and if you read all the Scripture, you would find out that there was a time of judgment upon them. And you say, why? Because they rejected the Lord. And God said, they are going through difficulty because they rejected Me. And so that difficulty in His purpose was to warn us, don't reject God. Now, can I recommend something to all of you? Don't reject God. You say, oh, Pastor, I'm saved. Well, I'm glad that you're saved, but there are more ways to reject Him than just not rejecting Him as Savior. You can reject His guidance. You can reject His leading. You can reject His word. You can reject. Listen, God's, what part of God's purposes is to warn us not to reject Him. Now, I think there are things that happen out there in life, and we might, you and I as Christians, we might look at something, we say, oh my, why in the world is that happening in that country? And why in the world might that be happening right over there? Is God fulfilling His purpose and warning the people in that country? You better stop rejecting Me. You can't get away with rejecting Me. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. America better be careful. She's walking a pretty thin line. All the rejecting of the Bible and the rejecting of God's teaching. Don't be shocked if God doesn't judge America here and there. Well, what's the purpose? To keep us from rejecting God. He said, that's one of My purposes. Something comes in life. My purpose in that is to keep people from rejecting Me. An event comes in life. What's happening there? Maybe it's happening for God's pleasure, and He has a right for that. What could be happening in that particular event? Maybe God is humbling someone, and God is looking for humility, so He is exalted instead of man. Well, what could be happening right there? Is it possible that God is emphasizing what I say I mean, and what I mean I say? What's happening right there? You say, preacher, why in the world the hurricane? Maybe it's just God saying, I'm God. I can do what I want. I have all the power. I control. They call it nature. I call it God. And God said, I can do what I want. God has a right to do that. Is that too much God for our thinking? It's all about God. Now, the safest thing for you and I to do is figure out what His purpose is for us, because we get be a part of His big purpose, and we're a piece of the puzzle. And I want to contribute my purpose to His purpose. And that's where you're going to find happiness and fulfillment. Now, the last point of the sermon is this. I think we should, by faith, accept and believe God's purposes. Mark 11:22 says, have faith in God. I wish I could say it like Dr. Lee Robertson. If any of you, if you never heard Dr. Lee Robertson preach, Dr. Robertson was just a brilliant, powerful leader. He could stand up, and he had arthritis in a finger, and he would go to point at you, and his finger was always crooked like that. He'd say, brethren, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And everybody would go, oh, that's incredible. All he said was have faith in God. But the way he said it, listen, folks, have faith in God. There's a purpose for everything under the sun. You might not understand it, and I might not understand it, but I'll guarantee you, God knows what God is doing. What's God's purpose? I told you earlier, Seola is facing a challenge. I don't know why. Maybe it's to get you right with God. You couldn't pray your way out of a wet paper bag and say, oh, I love her, but you're so far away from God, you can't be of a help. Maybe God wants to get your attention. If her getting better was dependent on the power of prayer that you have going on in your life, where would we get? I don't know why. I can't figure out all the purposes of God. But I have figured this out. God's figured out all the purposes. And I'm not going to spend my life doubting them. Sometimes I look at it and say, not even going to guess. What are you going to do? I just have faith in God. God knows what He's doing. Let's let His purpose become our purpose. My dad, with very few words, convinced me, shaving spot with his Braun razor was not the purpose for which that razor was created. And you know what? I never used it again. Matter of fact, I wouldn't go anywhere near it. And listen, folks, God has a purpose for you. And you ought to want to fulfill that purpose. Don't abuse God's purpose for your life. Fulfill it. It's a way to be happy. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You heard what he said. He said there in Isaiah 51:29, "And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed." I hope you want to be in God's will to that degree. You know what I want? I want for the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, I want us to fulfill God's purpose in our church. Not mine, not yours. God's. If you're not saved tonight, God's purpose for your life is for you to get born again and for you to begin to serve God. Is there anybody here that would say, "Preacher, I'm not born again, I'm not saved, pray for me, I'm not saved"? You raise your hand, I'll pray for you. I see a hand. Someone else, you say, "I'm not born again, I'm not saved." You can put your hands down. If you want to be saved, we're going to have an altar call. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Hey, those of you that are born again, those of you that are Christian, are you interested in God's purpose? See, I think sometimes we do good things. We're not doing bad things, but are we doing God's purpose for our spiritual life? I wish we were as interested in God's purpose as we are our secular purpose. Oh, and I'm not telling you, I think you ought to have a good secular purpose, if you will. Oh, but don't leave God out of the equation. That's most important. That's the key element. Who here tonight would say, "Pastor, I've examined this, I've listened. I do need to focus on God's purpose more in my life"? Would you raise your hand and let God see it? You may put it down. We're going to have an altar call. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a Christian and you need a moment at the altar, why don't you come and get on your knees for a second and maybe push the reset button about God's purpose in your life. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Good fellas, you come. Someone will get a Bible and show you how to be born again. And if we need more than one soul winner there, Brother Young, don't be afraid to help out. It looks like there's three people that need to be saved. If we've got another soul winner, here's Jonathan. He'll help. You understand that when you are doing God's purpose for your life, it can affect an eternity. An eternity. Wow. You get somebody saved, that can go into eternity. You do right and do good, that can affect eternity. You know, the sad thing is, do you realize that when we do wrong, there's a domino effect that could affect people for years and years to come? Everybody has a purpose in the plan of God, and that purpose was developed because of the mercy and the grace of God. That purpose is an eternal purpose. It has a long, long chain of potential and event. Sometimes God is just showing His great power. Sometimes God is emphasizing that He means what He said and He said what He meant. Sometimes God is looking to produce humility for an arrogant human race. Sometimes God is just fulfilling His pleasure. Sometimes God is saying, "Don't reject me." Sometimes God is warning not to push Him aside. Oh, but could I highly recommend to you that you have faith in God? If you ever can't figure out the purpose of any event in life, whether it be in your life, somebody else's life, or some event around the world, you say, what in the world could the purpose be if you can't figure it out? Go ahead and believe God knows exactly what He's doing, and He has a purpose, and God is good all the time. God's purposes are always righteous and always holy. Don't start doubting God. Don't become bitter with God. Don't second guess God. God has a purpose. There are probably people in this room that went through some difficulties, very difficult situations as you were growing up. But you know something? Maybe even some of those events brought you to where you are today, though it might not have been a fun event that you went through. It may be that God used it to bring you to where you are today that now helps you to do some great things for the Lord. Who knows? His purposes shall be performed.